Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day, thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, filling in for Colin Cowherd on a Friday. Will Hobson's going to join us in 15 minutes. No, not the former baseball player Will Hobson. Will Hobson's one of the reporters from the Washington Post. The story that dropped yesterday in the afternoon, and we were all kind of waiting for, would it be the story which ultimately led to Dan Snyder selling the Washington, formerly known as Redskins? Ryan Russillo is going to join us in 1 hour. My man John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast, will join us in 2 hours. So we got a great show for you. I have my thoughts on Alex Rodriguez. Did he say salary cap? Did he allude to a salary cap? I'll tell you why Alex Rodriguez could quickly become the Jeter Jordan of new age Major League Baseball owners, if in fact he does own a Major League Baseball team like the New York Mets. We don't know who has the best luck. We know who has the worst luck out of this all the nonsense from the Washington Redskins. I have a Ben Simmons story for you, man, and we might have the most interesting best for last that I have had, Colin has had in a long time. So we got an outstanding show for you. Thanks so much for making us part of your day. We're live in Los Angeles on the iHeartRadio app, on Fox Sports Radio, and of course on Sirius XM as well. Let me get to this. The story dropped yesterday. Apparently the Washington Redskins, 15 former employees, 14 who are anonymous, one young woman who chose to put her name out there, said, look, it's a terrible culture, a lot of sexual harassment, degrading behavior, and it's the type of stuff that, while there didn't appear to be Me Too, right, for old Me Too, like, you know, quid pro quo, it was just, sophomoric is understating what a bad look it is for men in the workplace. It just is, right? Between comments being made and degrading behavior and comments about what women are wearing, I would love to say this is from 20 years ago, but 20 years ago it wasn't really acceptable. Dan Snyder, the owner of the Washington Redskins, released this statement earlier today. The described behavior in yesterday's Washington Post article has no place in our franchise or society. The story has strengthened my commitment to setting a new culture and standard for our team, a process that began with the hiring of Coach Rivera earlier this year. Beth Wilkinson and her firm are empowered to do a full and unbiased investigation and to make any and all requisite recommendations. Upon completion of her work, we will institute new policies and procedures and strengthen our human resources infrastructure to not only avoid these issues in the future, but most importantly, create a team culture that is respectful and inclusive to all. It's Dan Snyder, who's the owner, majority owner, of the Washington football team, formerly known as the Redskins. So look, they're going through a complete makeover. And with the exception of one of the men, a guy named Dennis Green, who was accused of sexual harassment, with the exception of Dan Snyder, apparently, again, I can only go by what's written in the article, berating some of these executives, although no specifics in terms of the berating was given, with this as an exception. Dennis Green apparently was a college cheerleader, and so in front of other people, he told Dennis Green to do cartwheels when Dan Snyder was upset. So, but again, there isn't the depth and of negativity in regards to racism like we saw with the LA Clippers. And for people in the NFL who want to compare it to the Carolina Panthers, who ironically used to employ Ron Rivera, their former owner was directly accused of making inappropriate remarks of the sexual nature. So there's a difference there. And look, are there a lot of different things that tick people off about Dan Snyder? Yeah. Yeah. His business partners with the Redskins have already said, we want out. He stuck his heels in the dirt and said, we're never, boldface, you can put it in all caps, we're never going to change the team's nickname. That, of course, has changed. Or will change. He famously charged people to watch at training camp, whereas previously it was free. Like, there's lots of things that he has done, and he's run the risk of losing sponsors because of many of these details. But it doesn't appear that there's a smoking gun in this article, which is going to force him to sell the team. But I walked away, and who's the biggest story of the week? Right? Pat Mahomes was last week. This week it was about the franchise tag and guys that got an extension. And the guy that didn't get an extension but almost got one at the very last moment is Dak Prescott. I look at the mess that is the Redskins, and I think to myself, okay, they had two consecutive quarterbacks suffer broken legs, right? They traded for Alex Smith, gave him a big contract. He breaks his leg in such a fashion, he's lucky to walk now. He wants to come back and play, but that seems so far-fetched, right? That was, you're going back two seasons ago. Then Colt McCoy replaces him. He breaks his leg. Then they draft Dwayne Haskins, who his own coach says isn't ready. The coaches of the Washington Redskins didn't want him, but the owner, Dan Snyder, did. Eventually, they fire the head coach after changing offensive coordinators mid-year. Like, that Redskins thing is a mess. Think about it. The Redskins' best season was 2016 since Dak entered the league. They were 8-7-1. The Giants, since 2016, are 23-41. Think about that for a second. The Giants, and by the way, that's if you take away, and then if you take away Dak's rookie season, where Dak won 13 games, or the Cowboys won 13 games, the Giants won 11, made the playoffs. They're actually 12-36 the last 3 years. And over the past 2 years, the Eagles have suffered through all sorts of dysfunction because of injuries to Carson Wentz, came back maybe a little bit too early from the torn ACL. He wasn't right. They had the Super Bowl hangover. And then last year, they were so decimated by injuries, they had practice squad guys late in the year, and the Eagles still went to the playoffs. Like, the Cowboys, we want to say that Dak Prescott is a winner, right? That's always been the, you know, he's a winner. Look at his record. Okay, but they didn't actually win last year. They didn't beat the good teams last year. I walk away from this Redskins story and say, man, the Redskins are such a complete and utter dumpster fire. How the hell did they even compete? How have they been able to manage with all of this stuff? Because, look, half of the guys that were accused of this stuff have been gone from the franchise since 2015, I believe. Another one left in 2018. And then they fired three more going back to when the story was first brought to their attention, three more were gone. So, yeah, that insulates Dan Snyder. Unless there is a smoking gun email that says he knew that this behavior was going on and did nothing about it and didn't send it directly to HR, or he told HR to shut down any investigation, then I think Dan Snyder, he's still going to own the team. They're just going to put in new, you know, they're going to say, hey, we changed the culture. We put in new HR department. We're going to hire some different people. We're going to be more diverse, not just in terms of race, but sexuality, and we're going to plow ahead forward. But what do people always say about the Patriots? Well, you know, the Patriots are great, but they play in the AFC East. The AFC East is an epic and abject disaster. And that's true. That's true. But if that's true, why haven't the Cowboys been better? Anybody? Right? Like, Dak's a winner. Only when Zeke was suspended, they didn't win. That was 3 years ago. Yes, they got to the playoffs 2 years ago. Last year, they did not, when they had five wins on their schedule. two against the Giants, two against the Redskins, and one against the Miami Dolphins early in the year. And honestly, they played the Jets at home. That should have been six. Oh, sorry, the Jets were in New York. My bad. It doesn't matter. The Jets were awful. Awful. Yes, I know how they finished 5-2 with Sam Darnold at the end of the season. Okay, but the Cowboys were loaded up, had all these star players. The number one statistical offense in football. Couldn't beat the Jets. Couldn't beat the Eagles in Philadelphia. The Eagles playing scrubs at wide receiver. And so while I know that we want to, and we will talk about this Redskins story, and not just what's been reported, but maybe what wasn't able to be reported, because there was a delay between when the story was supposed to drop, which was yesterday morning, and when it actually came out, which means they probably had to go back through and take some things out because there was threats for litigation. Again, that doesn't mean that it happened in terms of what they were being, and maybe Snyder was being accused of. But it does make you at least suspicious that there's more there and that any real investigation will uncover the more there. But we did we forget what happened with the Giants and Eli and Geno Smith a couple years ago? Did we forget that the Giants have been an abject disaster? And yes, the Eagles 3 years ago won a Super Bowl, but they had the Super Bowl hangover year where Carson Wentz wasn't right, coming off ACL. Is it Wentz's team? Is it Foles' team? Who do they actually believe in? Yada, yada, yada. Remember, the Eagles had lost so much of their offensive play-calling personnel because, you know, some had left for their own jobs. Like, the Eagles haven't been great over the past 2 years either. So why aren't the Cowboys... Why don't they line up and have six wins or at least five wins every single year, considering what an abject disaster their division has been? Much like people say, well, the Patriots have that benefit. And you know what? And you know what the Patriots do? The Patriots win their division, usually get a first round bye, play at home, and have the benefit of everybody else beating up on each other before they get somebody to come into their place and eventually get to the AFC Championship game. That's what works for Bill Belichick. That's what's worked for Tom Brady. Have they benefited greatly? Yes. Did LeBron James benefit from playing in the Eastern Conference? Of course he did. Of course he did. Right, but he still got to the finals every time. Yes, he was a prohibitive favorite. Yes, when he went to Miami, it wasn't just about building a super team. It was about tearing down a playoff team in Toronto, taking Chris Bosh. It was about tearing down a playoff team in Cleveland by leaving and going to Miami. It was about pulling out the last, you know, the really one leg of the chair with the Boston Celtics ultimately getting Ray Allen. So it wasn't just that they built up the Heat. It was that they took down most of the competition in the East. So they were prohibitive favorites, but they did get to the finals. The NFC East has been a mess. Mess. Abject disaster. Regime change in New York. Quarterback changes in New York. Redskins quarterback turnstile, complete dysfunctional franchise, head coach not getting along with front office or president of football operations, owner wanting a quarterback, owner trying to fight off keeping a nickname. Eagles have suffered through, after a great season, injuries and dysfunction because of the disease of me and all that followed winning a Super Bowl. And what do the Giants, what do the Cowboys have to show for it? One playoff win. And the expression in the NFL is, deals that you want to get done, you get done. And remarkably, the Cowboys did not get a deal done with Dak Prescott. What do they know? They know that they should have been. If he was that good, if they were that good, there should have been more wins and more playoff wins and playoff buys to show for it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb for Colin. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day. Thanks so much. Hoping you're having a great Friday. C-Man is off for the weekend. So the big story we were all waiting for, and look, there is a there's an old and this circles around centers around D.C. You know, news dump Friday, usually, and this comes from whether it's White House or other government bad news. You know, after 4 o'clock on a Friday, you call a press conference or you have a news dump. That's because people, especially on a holiday weekend, people are gone. It gets buried. That wasn't the case for the Washington Post. This was, we were told it was supposed to drop yesterday morning. It dropped yesterday afternoon. And the revelations are quite alarming. 15 former employees of the Washington Redskins basically accused of having a toxic culture, workplace, and sexual harassment. And obviously this coupled with the imminent name change and other issues with the Redskins leaves it very much up for discussion as to whether or not the NFL could step in and say, yeah, Dan Snyder, you got to sell this football team. Let's get to Will Hobson. He's a sports reporter for the Washington Post. He joins us in the herd. You can follow him on Twitter at TheWillHobson, Will with two L's. Will, let's start with this. How long has this article been in the works?
A little more than 2 years. There was actually a New York Times story in spring of 2018 about how the Redskins had been selling as a perk for suite holders access to the cheerleaders. And after that story published, we had a few former employees of the team reach out to us and say, you know, it's bigger than just the cheerleaders. It's the sales force. It's the interns. It's every woman who goes through that building. And throughout the summer of 2018, Liz Clark and I interviewed a bunch of former employees. And unfortunately, just back then, we were unable to get anyone on the record, and we couldn't get anything in the way of documentation to support some of the claims we were hearing. So we let it go. And then about 2 weeks ago, we picked it back up after hearing from one woman that she was interested in speaking on the record, and then getting some documentation, some text messages and documents from a few others.
All right. So why did she change her mind? Why did she go on the record?
I think she's no longer interested in working in professional sports. So there's both, you know, for the women who declined to speak on the record, there was both a fear of getting sued by the Redskins or the guys they were accusing. But then also, you know, a lot of these women want to keep working in pro sports, and they feel like if their name is out there, they're going to be perceived by other teams as, you know, problem employees.
Will Hobson joining us, a sports reporter for the Washington Post. This, we were told it was supposed to drop yesterday morning. It wasn't until the afternoon. Of course, in the meantime, Dan Snyder has hired a lawyer to investigate. Why the delay?
There was no delay on our end. I don't know who was telling you the story was coming out yesterday morning. We put it out as fast as we could.
Well, there was some, I guess, internet rumors as to this big this big story. Was that from your side, or do you believe that somebody else did it in order to kind of diminish the story when it ultimately came out?
I don't think there was any. Well, first off, there were rumors definitely weren't coming from our side, which I explained to an outraged person close to team leadership yesterday. I think the rumors developed organically because the Redskins, the three guys abruptly left the organization. They fired two scouts last weekend and didn't put out any information about why, and that's an unusual time to release your director of pro personnel and your top scout. And then on Wednesday, the team's longtime announcer just really abruptly retired. And he's the type of guy that you would think if he was going to retire, they'd have some type of event for him, and he just released a statement, and that was it. So I think people really started to speculate, like, what is going on here that the two or three guys are just getting thrown overboard in pretty rapid fashion.
The obvious question is, how much of this, like, Dan Snyder, what did he know, when did he know, and what did he do about it? What were you able to ascertain?
I mean, most of the women, I'd say mostly all the women we spoke to said, you know, I can't say with a degree of certainty that Dan knew this stuff was going on. Dan, they describe as kind of aloof, not spending a ton of time in the office. And when he does, he only talks to his, you know, the top executive staff. But the women do, where they do lay the blame for this conduct with Dan is, A, with they had a non-existent human resources department that didn't have real policies in place to deal with this type of behavior. And then B, they say that they think he just set the tone of verbal abuse. That they describe him as belittling his executives, and that is like a trickle down effect where they're dishing out the behavior that they're getting from their boss.
Will Hobson, a sports reporter for The Washington Post, he and Liz Clark did this fascinating piece which looks into the culture and dysfunctional culture of the Washington Redskins. It's the article that everyone is talking about. Look, this is not your first rodeo in terms of professional sports and front office culture. How prevalent do you believe this behavior is in other franchises?
Really say I'll answer that question this way. I had some women that we spoke with for the story who do work for other NFL teams say, you know, this is common. You deal with this everywhere, and I do think to a certain extent that rings true. But mostly, everyone we spoke to acknowledged that these issues were particularly acute in the Redskins front office. I spoke to one woman in particular who just works for an NBA franchise now. It says it's night and day. There's nothing like that going on over here.
Ron Rivera is in charge of changing the culture, right? That's what Dan Snyder said. Like, he's going to come in and change the culture. As you said, you guys just picked this up 2 weeks ago. Did anybody who's currently with the Redskins notice any change in the culture since Coach Rivera has come over from Carolina shortly, I think, before the Super Bowl?
I'm honestly not talking to too many current employees, and that is something we do want to do, and that's something we certainly are very interested in, is take the temperature in that organization right now.
But they're not allowing those people to talk? Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, that's typically it's typically how it goes, and that's not unusual, nor would I suggest it's inappropriate, but that doesn't mean we can't still try.
Will Hobson joining us. He's a sports reporter for The Washington Post. The story is out. By the way, this is just a quick aside. I actually support that's behind the paywall. It's such a story that everybody wants to talk about. I know that's often discussed, but it's, you know, it's one of those things that within the media, should it be behind? Should it not? I mean, we're trying to get people to buy and, you know, and read your work on a daily or weekly basis. Then sorry, you got to sign up behind the paywall. Having read it, I thought here's the part where it did correlate in terms of his behavior is copied from others. Dennis Green, one of the men who resigned, right? Did I read this right? Did he told him to do cartwheels because he was a college cheerleader? And did Dennis Green actually do the cartwheels?
That's the allegation. It was Dennis relayed that anecdote to an employee of his after the meeting. She wasn't in the room, so it's unclear. If that actually happened. But other folks who are familiar with Dan said that type of conduct could absolutely have happened.
It doesn't feel like there's any denials, at least we've seen, of these allegations. Have there been?
No, the individuals have. The only one who did speak with us, former chief operating officer, Mitch Gershman, he did deny the conduct alleged. But yeah, I mean, with the other scouts, we're talking about things that, you know, text messages or incidents that happened in a bar in Indianapolis in full view of multiple journalists and other team officials.
Yeah. Last thing, as you mentioned, that Dan Snyder seen as being mostly aloof, although he did set in place a culture based upon his verbal abuse of the people that he was in direct contact with. With those text messages and with any other information, is there any direct link to Dan Snyder?
At this point, no. No.
What do you think should happen from the NFL standpoint?
I think it makes sense to me for the league to monitor this independent review that the Redskins are doing to ensure that it actually is independent and not, you know, what you do see in corporate America a lot, where a company brings in, quote-unquote, outside law firm to do these independent reviews that amazingly always seem to find that all the bad stuff was the fault of all the guys they already fired, and that going forward, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah. Well, listen, tell Liz, great job on this. Really interesting and in-depth read. Outstanding reporting and journalism, and thanks for joining us in The Herd.
My pleasure, Doug. Thanks, Mike.
Will Hobson joining us from the Washington Post. Look, I do think it's fascinating. You know, obviously ownership and leadership has a say in setting in place the culture. And how about Ron Rivera, right? Ron Rivera goes from the culture of Carolina where the owner has to sell the team because he sexually harasses women within the organization. Rivera goes to the Redskins, and the big thing with the Redskins was this. Will he have the power? Right, that's the criticism of working for the Washington Redskins, or Washington formerly known as the Redskins, is, you know, look, you can say and do whatever you want, but at the end of the day, Dan Snyder, owner's going to own. Right? That front office, the coaching staff did not want Dwayne Haskins as their quarterback, but Dwayne Haskins went to high school with one of Dan Snyder's kids, and Dan Snyder was absolutely convinced this is the guy. I actually think Ron Rivera, I mean, it's his football team. I mean, his football franchise. Football franchise to go. I mean, he wasn't quite in, wasn't like he was in Shawshank Prison. And he's you know, climbing through a pile of feces like Andy Dufresne did. And Carolina wasn't that bad, but Carolina did go through an ownership change. Cam Newton had been injured. They did kind of have these pieces that didn't fit together. They had all these mass retirements coming up of, you know, Luke Kuechly had to retire early. And there was some ugliness there. To now go to Washington, and granted, the pieces are not set in place, but he arguably got the best player in the draft, best talent in the draft. And he'll have almost autonomy. Almost autonomy. It's remarkable. Good for Ron Rivera. People question, why would you take that job? You'll never have a say. He's going to get to pick the nickname. Pick the nickname, pick all of the front office staff, pick all the marketing staff, anybody he wants.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. Saw this apparently, during a conference call. Alex Rodriguez, among the bidders for possible purchase of the New York Mets, called for baseball players to accept some type of revenue sharing system that is tied to a salary cap and sparked quick opposition from the union. Now, keep in mind, he never said the words salary cap. He never said the word salary cap. Here's what he did say. The only way it's going to happen is if they get to the table and say, number one goal, let's get from $10 to $15 billion. Then we split the economics evenly. This was Thursday during a conference call. But that's the type of conversation that instead of fighting and fighting against each other, there's too much competition out there right now. Earlier this morning, Rodriguez had this tweeted out response. Yesterday, I was asked about the CBA expiring in 2021. I answered honestly, but never mentioned the word salary cap. I suggested on the call that both sides, players and owners, work together to make baseball as big as the NFL and the NBA. I've been in contact with Tony Clark, the executive director of the MLBPA, to make sure that we're aligned in taking our sport to the next level and showcasing the world's best athletes. So Alex Rodriguez, who of course famously signed the biggest contract in the history of sports, not once but twice, is seen by many as a hypocrite. Hey, you benefited from no salary cap. Why shouldn't we benefit from no salary cap? Well, by the way, that's what Tony Clark had to say. Alex benefited as much as anybody from the battles this union fought against owners' repeated attempts to get a salary cap. Now he's attempting to become an owner himself, and his perspective appears to be different, and that perspective does not reflect the best interests of the players. I will tell you this. There's a couple of flaws to the no salary cap ever option that the Major League Baseball Players Association would like you to believe. First of all, there is a luxury tax, which, though it's not a hard salary cap, it does cause teams, even the New York Yankees, to be much more financially cautious than they used to be. Secondly, there is no ceiling. but there is no floor. Whether it was the Astros when they tanked, going back to 2013, or the Miami Marlins the past couple of years under Derek Jeter. Like shedding salary to pay nothing to nothing. And then, you know, you get the rich get taxed and you get to benefit from it. You put a team out there that cannot compete. That only happens in terms financially with no salary cap. It's one of the big misconceptions about the NFL salary cap. They had a non-capped season. Non-capped season. And there were a substantial number of players that thought, happy days are here. We're going to get paid. And what happened? Teams didn't spend money. Everyone got lowballed. And it was a disaster for the players. So, of course, they want a salary cap. Now, Major League Baseball has never had one. And the second you say revenue sharing, revenue sharing to MLBPA means salary cap. But keep in mind, Alex Rodriguez is quickly becoming a Derek Jeter, a Michael Jordan, right? Star players who got paid a lot of money, they get to the other side of the table and like, these contracts don't make any sense. Why would I spend all this money for this many years? All of a sudden, you open up the books and you're like, holy hell, this is a terrible business model. A terrible business model. And look, I get it because we're sitting there and people are able to say, well, you know, you make a bunch of money when you sell the team. Well, what the hell is the purpose of buying the team? Like, this is not a house that you're going to go and flip. Like, you know, I went in and did it. And I did the kitchen, put in some new floors. You know, I was just like, what's it, Tarek and what's his ex-wife's name down in Orange County? Christina and Tarek, right? Tarek and Christina. Yeah, we went in, we scraped it, we flipped it. It's fine. Like, that's not what you do with a baseball. You get a baseball team so you can own a baseball team. I get the Mets for $2 billion. I'm trying to flip them for like three in 2 years so I don't pay capital gains. No, that's not the way it works. Nobody does that. Because if you do, you'll never own a professional sports team ever again. They don't let you flip teams. Well, you know, I bought the Mets, and then I went and I was thinking about buying an NBA team. And then I felt like, no, they want stability. So you got to raise $2 billion in order to buy the team. You put in your own cash, and then you look at the books. You're like, wait, this is losing money every time we trot out there? I'm supposed to sign a long-term contract to some guy who's not on steroids anymore, so he's going to get worse as he gets older? Yeah, no thanks. There's the expression, ain't no fun when the rabbit has the gun, but how interesting is it when a player becomes an owner or a prospective owner? It also should be pointed out that Alex Rodriguez, his chameleon side, he's one of those guys that fits into any room. Oh, yeah. Oh, now I'm an owner? Okay, now I'll be financially reasonable. When I'm a player, it's all about getting as much money as possible. When I'm a Yankee, I'm all about the Yankees. And when I was a Ranger, I was all about the Rangers. And that's who Alex is. And he's been very successful with it because he's a great ball player. He's good looking. And he's bright enough. He's bright enough to know what he should know and have people around him that fill in the blanks.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
All right, let's get to the story of the day. Doug Gottlieb for Collins, The Herd. The Washington Redskins culture is front and center on the front page of most every newspaper and online website. That's because people don't like Dan Snyder. Many people didn't like the Redskins nickname. They're going to change the nickname. People want them to change the owner. And the Washington Post did a really well-done expose in which 15 former employees, one who went on the record, 14 who did not, claimed to have been verbally or sexually or physically harassed during their time with the Washington Redskins. It should be pointed out that everyone who's accused of wrongdoing in the article is no longer with the Washington Redskins. And as Will Hobson told us from the Washington Post, one of the two reporters, they circled back around to the story just 2 weeks ago, when suddenly One of the women wanted to go on the record. She wanted to go on the record. They had a story. They went and dialed up. You know, they got 14 other people, and this was what happened. Okay, let me start with this. When Will Hobson told me that it wasn't until 2 weeks ago that they went back to a story that they couldn't get any collaboration on for the last 2.5, 3 years, what else happened 2 weeks ago? Right? The discussion, the renewed discussion about changing the nickname and Dan Snyder's quote, you know, put it in all caps, we're never changing the name. This is, again, it doesn't mean that the accusations are false. Right? Both of these things can be true, that the accusations can be true. It led to these men being fired, rightfully so, and the timing of it. It wasn't like it's not like a coup d'etat. Like, the timing of it is basically people have had enough of Dan Snyder. I don't think this rises to the level where he's going to lose the ability to own an NFL team. I mean, these stories come out all at once. You know, within the last 2 weeks, minority owners want out. They own 40% of the team. They want out. And these are friends of Dan Snyder who've done business with him. The team conducted an internal review to change the name, apparently something that had been going on anyway and Ron Rivera had been a proponent of. And then you got this stuff, like, all happening at once. Come on, man. I was born that night, not last night. None of this stuff would have happened if Dan Snyder was a great dude that people liked and didn't want to see him lose the team. I don't see him losing the team. But what I do see is a really, really, really tough road for Dwayne Haskins. Now, by all accounts, Dwayne Haskins has, in whatever we call this sort of offseason, he's matured some. He's been a better leader. He started to grow into being the veteran quarterback of the Washington, yet-to-be-named football team, formerly known as the Washington Redskins. Dwayne Haskins played in 9 games last year, completed 58.5% of his passes, 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Of those games, they did win. They did win 2. Right? They won. He had 2 starts in which he won, and one of them, of course, was against the Carolina Panthers. But I believe that was after Ron Rivera had lost his gig. Right? That was after he was fired. I mean, look, there wasn't – Dwayne Haskins is a guy that's a classic thrower. And I think Urban Meyer was on the Herd earlier this week, and he said the best prospect he'd ever recruited was Dwayne Haskins when he signed him out of high school. And Dwayne Haskins threw 50 touchdown passes playing for Urban Meyer. So, like, look, Urban Meyer knows what he's doing a little bit. He knows football players. He's had Alex Smith. He's had Dwayne Haskins, and he raved about his talent, even though he said, like, look, he's not really ready. So I look at this thing and I think Dwayne Haskins got a tough uphill climb. The way it works in professional sports and somewhat in collegiate sports is you got to have a rabbi in the room. You got to have a guy who believes in you, who drafted you. Well, the GM or president, Bruce Allen's no longer there. Nobody who was in the scouting department, you know, the director of pro scouting is one of the guys that was fired. Coaching staff is all new. And while Ron Rivera to this point has said it's Dwayne Haskins' job, like, look, Alex Smith still wants to come back and play. Don't know if that's possible. Remember, Kyle Allen started for the Panthers last year, and Ron Rivera traded for him. Now, is Kyle Allen the classic backup? Absolutely. I thought it was curious that Ron Rivera didn't reach out and wait for Cam Newton to be cut. Maybe that says something about Cam Newton. Maybe it says what he feels about Dwayne Haskins. But Dwayne Haskins' biggest supporter, his biggest fan, is Dan Snyder, the still owner of the Washington football team. But as I told you last hour, like, look, Dan's not going to have a lot of say in this thing. They're going to have an HR department, and the HR department's going to be super, super powerful. Otherwise, they're in trouble. He's going to have new members of the front office. Oh, yeah, and Ron Rivera is bringing in anybody and everybody who he liked and he worked with in Carolina. And while Kyle Allen can be kind of a teacher, Kyle Allen is, it's not like he's one of these 40-year-old Grizzly veterans who is okay not playing anymore. He wants another shot. So too does Alex Smith. Dwayne Haskins hasn't lost the advocacy of Daniel Snyder. Just Daniel Snyder's voice within the room has been mostly muted. And then you combine that there's a new coaching staff. And then you combine the fact that, look, they're in a division where you would think the Giants are getting better. The Cowboys are loaded. And the Eagles should be back this year. I think that's a tough road for the dude. And he's never had great feet. He's been a really, really good thrower. I mean, he's not a crazy athlete. But what he is, he's kind of classic pocket thrower with an adept touch. But remember, when he was a superstar, he wasn't a star, he was a superstar at Ohio State. Look at the dudes he was throwing to. Right? They had pros. Everybody else in the Big Ten had Joes. Now, all of a sudden, you don't have that advantage. So I look at Dwayne Haskins and I think, man, he was set up to fail last year because Jay Gruden and his staff didn't really want him. And Jay Gruden's offense was so complex. Now you give him his second offense in 2 years with a staff that didn't draft him. Doesn't mean they don't like him, but they didn't draft him, so he doesn't have any kind of equity with them. But they carry in whatever bias they have after preparing for him and seeing him when he played against Carolina, 13 of 25, 147 yards, no touchdown passes, completes just 52% of his passes. And in a league where the move is towards more athletic quarterbacks, not just Lamar Jackson types, but guys that can move around and be athletic in and outside of the pocket throwing the football, that's not who Dwayne Haskins is. He's not an athlete. He's a classic thrower. Ooh, I don't love it for him. I feel like it's an uphill climb. And I feel like the changing of a culture is going to be an adverse situation for Dwayne Haskins through no fault of his own. He wasn't part of any of this front office culture. He wasn't any part of that nonsense. Now, maybe he can rise above and be a leader and they all get behind him, but they didn't draft him. And the one guy who stood on the desk and said, "You're taking this guy," is the owner, and he doesn't have the swing he used to have.